Well, the weather outside is frightful, but here at Razzle Dazzle Radio, delightful. It's the holiday season. A little boo-hoo, we don't have a nutcracker, and the Messiah people can't get together to sing out. But we are supporting local theater and all the arts with our guests, Marla, Jeremy, and our host, Judy and Mo Dutterer. Hello, Mo, take it away and tell us all the good things happening in Howard County.
And it's good to see you all from sunny South Carolina. And thank you all for including me in part of this on a Wednesday, which is a non-golf day for me. So I really appreciate that. And a guy that I met once or twice in the past, I'm going to be talking with now, a guy by the name of Jeremy Goldman. Hello and good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
I'm sorry I didn't call you a day later because you would be outside shoveling snow.
That's right. It just started coming down right when we started.
Oh, that's very good. Good. Of course, you have two kids and a wife that can do that, and you can stay inside and drink coffee.
You got it. That's right. It's a strange snow day for Howard County schools.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a snow day for a couple of months now. So anyhow, we're here to talk about a little bit about Silhouette Stages. And as I remember vividly, back in the year 2003, 1 year after I graduated, I call it, retired from Centennial High School, there was a need in my body to still do some community theater and some adult theater there in the Howard County, Baltimore, Washington area. And I contacted a gal that I knew quite well by the name of Judy Templeton, who is also on this broadcast. And she at the time was owner of the Drama Learning Center along with Sherry Grew. And they said, yeah, I said, not a lot's happening here in the evenings, nighttime going on. And we started a group by the name of Shadow Block Productions. And the name of the group actually came from our first production, which was Quilters, which is a phenomenally wonderful all-female casted show about the pioneer women who developed the West after their husbands or significant others actually met their demise on the way west in the Conestoga wagons, and how the ladies persevered and went on. And I saw it a couple times before and said at one point in time, I really want to direct that. Well, the show consists of telling stories about 16 blocks that make up any normal quilt. And one of the quilts is a shadow block, which is a block that tells a less than happy story. And Delia Chu actually is a person that decided and put the name forth of, why don't we call it Shadow Block Productions? So we did at DLC with Judy and Sherry until 2008. And certain things happened and we ended up landing at Slayton House in 2008, and we did our first performance there, being You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which was absolutely fantastic, because for my opinion, Charlie Brown can be done much better by adults than it can by kids, because adults have observed kids for many, many years, and kids find it difficult to portray themselves or what they used to be just a couple of years ago. So that's where we went with Shadow Block Productions into Silhouette Stages. We are a nonprofit organization, so because of that, it wasn't just me running the show. We actually got a board of directors and went on from there. And right now, I think you, Jeremy, are still the president of Silhouette Stages, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. I was honored to take the baton from you.
Great. Well, you took the baton very, very well. And then this good old pandemic happened. And not only with theater and dance and everything around the world and music, it all sort of stopped. Mm-hmm. And just within the last week, they made an announcement that London's West End is coming back. And they have their fingers crossed that Broadway will be soon happening, but we are not as far along as Great Britain and a lot of Europe is with the coronavirus. I have a couple of my former Centennial students that are still up there on Broadway and unemployed right now, and they're hoping that they come back very soon. So what has Silhouette Stages been doing, twiddling their thumbs all this time with nothing to do?
Yeah, we've just been sitting here waiting. We've been very busy. As you said, this hit, just to take you back to when this hit, we were 1 week away from opening night of our spring production of Calendar Girls. So it was supposed to open the last week of March. So the cast was ready, set was built. We were, you know, entering into tech week when this hit. And so that was really, really devastating for that cast. We had also, a week before, just announced the cast of our spring show, Catch Me If You Can, which I was going to be a part of. So we were about to open a musical. We just cast our next musical. So that really hit hard for a lot of people. So once we realized this was a long-term situation, the board of directors decided to figure out what can we do during this time to really enhance the organization. You know, we didn't want to just stop. So one of the things we did was a rebranding. We took a look at our logos and our website and things like that. So we developed a brand new logo and color scheme and sort of a whole new look for our branding. I think there's a part of it right there on my screen. And we also are redoing our bylaws, really exciting stuff like that. But we also had to pivot because we didn't want to stop doing artistic things. I mean, we're artistic people and we need an outlet. So we had to pivot. And after canceling, I think we've now canceled 8 artistic events, whether it's a show or a cabaret night. So we pivoted to a digital type of production, which is actually what we just closed.
Well, the resiliency of the arts. So how did you put that together, Jeremy?
Yeah, this took a lot of brain power, brainstorming, because this is not something any of us are familiar with. You know, we could put together a live show at Slayton House like that, but putting together a virtual cabaret essentially was really difficult. So we got together with a bunch of our, you know, creative minds, both behind the scenes and in front of the camera, reached out to some of our favorite performers. We had Tommy Malik, who directed and edited this video production. TJ Lucasina, who's our artistic director, produced the event. And we wound up, instead of a online show, we did sort of a retrospective of the history of shadow block and silhouette stages. We were able to find archival photos from every, I think it's 47 productions that have happened, which is incredible. There were some live productions. If we get that video back up, you might see Mo Dutter up there singing. I think it was in Chicago. So just some really incredible old footage interspersed with brand new performances, people singing from home. So it was, you know, I heard from people were really kind of moved, which surprised me when I saw the final product. It really brought a tear to my eye, I think, because not only just to see the history, but it had been so long since I saw a performance. And yes, so just to see that, all the old footage and the pictures and the people from home singing, it was amazing.
It was stunning. And to the people that put that together, especially the technical part of it, to TJ and also to Tommy, it was just stunning. It was really, really good. And if you folks out there in Radio Land missed it, we're hoping to have it back up again so that you can see it at any time at your convenience. But it did bring back not some old memories, Jeremy.
Sorry.
Previous memory. It was just wonderful.
Yeah. And I will say one of the best parts about it as a nonprofit community theater was that we did not charge anybody. So all the tickets were online. You just had to register and people got a link. So we were really proud to be able to bring that for free to the community.
Yep. And for those of you that may not know, Silhouette Stages is absolutely one of the best community theaters around. I mean, again, we had our founding father, Mo, who really gave it great roots and then turned it over to you that has given it wings. And especially during this hard time, I mean, that's just a great combination. So looking towards what's next, Jeremy, what is? Where's Silhouette going to go from here?
You have great question. Well, we were supposed to have recently closed Freaky Friday, which didn't happen. This would be about the time when we were auditioning for 42nd Street, which has been canceled, along with our spring musical, Cinderella. we were really, really excited for this season. So that's been really tough. But again, we're pivoting. One of the things we're working on now is a series of virtual masterclasses. So we're looking at bringing in classes on directing, stage managing, auditioning, that'll be taught by some of our, you know, fantastically talented folks. So that's one thing we're looking to offer. And then we're hoping, and again, this is brand new for us, but we're hoping to be able to do a virtual musical, an actual show sometime in the spring. We don't know exactly what it will be or how it will work, but that is our goal. So we're working very hard to get to that point around the May.
Any chance that might be Calendar Girls, since that was already mounted and never got a performance?
Yeah, so we are looking to remount Calendar Girls in the spring of 2022, so in about a year. We have the entire, this is amazing, the entire cast has recommitted. So we're essentially, we just hit the pause button. And then they are having monthly readings where they refresh, they walk through the show each month just to keep it fresh. And about a year from now, we'll start, hopefully, in-person rehearsals for that. So
I love it.
But some of the cast members by then, Jeremy, may be extremely old and not fit.
Well, we can do a wheelchair version. It's okay.
We're only here to give hope.
Right.
Speaking of the resiliency of the arts, I'd like to introduce Marla Blasco, who is going to talk to us about playback theater. So Marla, I'm going to tell you that we confused Mo. Can you imagine that we ever confused Mo? He thought it was like the name of a theater group. And I said, no, it's a form of theater. And so Marla has been in theater for as long as I've known her, certainly, and is the director at Long Reach High School and has been active with Howard County Summer Theater. And she approached me more than a year ago, and we talked about this idea. And this is way before the pandemic. And it turned out it was great that we talked about it because it was something that really saved us. So, you know, luckily we always talk about how the arts has saved us through all this. So Marla, I'm gonna turn it over to you. Go ahead, Tito, tell us about playback and what we've done on the church parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Judy. Yes. So Judy and Todd Hodgkeppel and I were meeting in our backyards for a while, just talking and talking. And finally, Todd said, I guess about the end of May, beginning of June, you know what? We just need to do this. When the country was kind of exploding in protests and people were getting frustrated by the pandemic, that there seemed to be no end in sight, we said, you know what? These stories that are now need to be told. And so playback actually originates back into the 70s. It's been around actually for a very long time. I did not learn about it until maybe like 5 years ago at a conference. And I just fell in love with the form. So it's a form of improv where audience members share their story. And then that story is played back to them by the company. So we decided to get our company together and we've been sharing stories. We started out in my backyard and then tried to work at HCC for a while and then ended up in First Presbyterian's church parking lot for the past 3 months or maybe 4 months, something like that. So yeah, we're waiting, we are training and ready for an audience at some point in time when we don't have to socially distance anymore. And we just really feel like people need to share their stories, they get perspective, they get enlightened. And it's just a beautiful form of improv and a different way of telling stories and sharing. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, this was really a guerrilla approach, how we had to put this together, but we did have little mini audiences that actually brought their lawn chairs and came out. And one of our dreams too, is when this is possible, is just to go into neighborhoods and just get a couple people around and, you know, hey, tell us what's going on. Tell us how you're feeling. And it's just extremely validating. So I kind of describe it, Marla, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's sort of social justice theater from back in the 60s, which I was a part of, but don't do the math. Anyways, and it is improv, social justice theater, and psychodrama a little bit as well, because it is a really healing form to finally say what's going on, and what then watching somebody act it back for you, it's so validating. It really is. So it's been really interesting. We had a group of improvers from Mount Hebron come join us. So we have had every age range you can imagine, which has been really wonderful, you know, to share their stories with ours. And so again, as we talk about the healing power of the arts, it's been really interesting to see how this has sort of morphed and how it'll continue, you know, to change and grow. So
yes, you reminded me of when you said to go to different neighborhoods. We actually had a performance for the Peace and Social Justice Committee at First Presbyterian. They came, that's who Judy's talking about, who came out with their lawn chairs and watched. And one of the members said, you know, you need to take this to the cul-de-sacs, all the cul-de-sacs, and just set up. And so it's a portable form. It can be anywhere. And we're just really excited about it and eager to share.
Yep, we're coming in. We're going to do a tour. We're going to come through South Carolina, Mo. We're going to set up at the golf course. We're going to get right in the middle of the golf course. And we're going to say, boys, come in, girls, women.
I suggest you go directly to the beach. Skip the golf.
Okay. Right
to the Atlantic Ocean, and it'll be fine.
I can be convinced, absolutely. So Marla, we always like to talk about the three places we're in, past, which we sort of told the story of, present. So what are you thinking for the future as we go on, where we're going to take this? We already said the cul-de-sac in Moe's Beach.
Yeah, well, I would love to see us go to Old Ellicott City maybe, and they've got some performance spaces there. Any place that has a venue, really, it is a truly portable form, I guess, theatrical form. We don't need sets. We just need an audience, really, and people willing to tell their stories. And it's interesting, when we first performed or somebody new comes in from the group, they're always like, oh, I don't have a story, or my stories aren't good. And everybody has a story to share. Every single person has a story to share. And it's just like Judy said, it's hard to describe, but when you hear that story, sometimes you tell a story that you're really, really mad about something, or you really just want to vent. And then that story gets told back to you, and we are all laughing about it. And like how, you know, once you get that perspective, it kind of reminds me of like, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff, you know? And I feel like getting that story out kind of gives you that perspective. It is healing, and it needs to be everywhere. So, you know, we want to take it to the community college. We want to take it downtown Ellicott City, into the high schools, into churches. So really any venue is where we'd like to be. So once this pandemic breaks, call us.
Hey, Jeremy, we might want to join Silhouette Stages, you know, or we might want to have, no pressure.
Good.
Yeah, we could warm up the crowd for you.
There you go. Perfect.
To add a little background history to this, I remember back when Barbara and I moved to Columbia in 1974, that there were some students that was probably 75 to 80, and they would gather in Carolyn Kellerman's front porch garage cul-de-sac, and they would be performing there a show. I think it would like do a show a week or every week and a half or something. And what great fun. And of course, those kids are now old coots. They're probably around, 55 to 60 years old. And I'm sure they have that as a wonderful memory, as Marla's group will have from this. And also, most of you probably don't know, the Second City from Chicago, which is basically the breeding ground for Saturday Night Live talent, they used to come to one of the Defense Department auditoriums once a month and do Saturday and Sunday workshops down there. And Mary Jane Sasser, who then was the drama teacher at Hammond, and myself, we went down there for a couple of years every month, two times. And what wonderful improv workshops they were to work with the professionals that were really doing it. So and that's just so neat. Is there any place, Marla, that besides the live things, has anything been filmed yet or that we could look at now?
We have not filmed yet. It's very much an in-person kind of experience. We did meet by Zoom last night, and we're able to share some stories. It's hard to share over Zoom, but we kind of figured it out a little bit. We did some pairs, Judy, and, okay. and we now, did some rants. So, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but back in my day when I was still teaching at Centennial and I retired 18 years ago, believe it or not, at that point in time, improv was just coming into the high schools and is now a very large part of the county and the school system there in Howard County.
Absolutely. Right? Yes, yes. In fact, we have, you know, there used to be, or there still is, I guess, all county band. And so now we have all county improv. And yeah. two students from each school are selected to form a 24-person improv troupe. And they are on hiatus this year, but they've been performing all over the county as well. So yeah, improv is just, it's a wonderful form.
Let me jump in here because you mentioned my garage and my, it was called the Bryant Woods Basement Bunch. Okay.
Oh, that's so cute. I love it. I love it.
And I'm proud to say that I did the very first benefit. I mean, that's part of my love to do benefits. And it was at Meriwether Post Pavilion. It was for the Interfaith Housing Ballet Company, which it was, you know, obviously kids who didn't have a chance to have any dance training. I taught them. And Mike Spear of the Rouse Company, vice president or way up there, the late Mike Spear, gave us Meriwether Post Pavilion so we could raise money for sickle cell anemia. And we raised $900, which was in those, this was 1971 or two.
Yeah, it was a lot
and
of money.
I'm real proud of that. But while we're on the subject of good things happening with local people, I think it's really terrific that we've had so many kids come out. Centennial High School, you have a zillion from there. But Wild Lake High School and all the schools, actually.
Long Reach, too.
Yeah, Long Reach, sorry about that. But the one thing I wanted to mention is that there is an author, and his book is on the best books of the New York Times. It was just published last week in the New York Times. Robert Culker, known as Bobby Culker. He was the same class as Edward Norton and Mark Levine. Mark Levine, who was my Charlie Brown,
oh,
is
yeah.
now Charlie Brown. He's now a councilman in New York City. He helps the Latinx community. But Bobby Culker has the book, and it's called Hidden Valley Road. It's just amazing that is one of the 10 best books in the New York Times. He might even get a Pulitzer for it. And neat, isn't it, to say
yep.
hurrah for the kids from Howard County?
Oh, absolutely. And each of us has had so much impact on that. I think we need to do our own film about the experiences that we've had and put that all together while we have some free time, okay? Mo, would you organize that and get back with me next week?
You got it.
Well, Carolyn, didn't you have a kind of a game that you wanted to play here?
Wasn't really here. Yeah. Now, yeah. I look forward to what we'd like to see in 2021. You can also look back to see what was something special in the arts despite all the awful things that are going on. And I'd like to say, I'll start it and then we can go around. Alvin Ailey, and you can get this on YouTube. Alvin Ailey recreated the company, the directors of Robert Battle, whoever directed this particular thing, recreated Revelations. And that's an amazing thing. Revelations is 60 years old, choreographed by the late Alvin Ailey. It's a beautiful tribute to the Black heritage, the gospel of Texas, the Bible Belt, and people, it's joyous, it's wonderful. So what they did was, and it's on YouTube, you go to the Alvin Ailey website, they took the dancers outside and wade in the water. And it's outdoors and they put the dancers in the water. And you know,
awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Mo, any special thing last year that you hope we see in live this year?
I think I would hit on something that was just on this past week. I forget the exact name of it, but it was the Best of Broadway, perhaps, that was on television. It was a fundraiser for the Actors Fund. Since that there are so many, not only actors and dancers and singers and backstage people and ushers and ticket takers and makeup people, and you name it, have been unemployed for at least 9 months now. And we're truly no end in sight up there yet, like London's West End. But yeah, I know it's on YouTube. The entire thing is there.
there's two Howard County Inns that are in it, Carolyn Bowman and Brady Richards. So someone from Howard County Zone.
I was hoping that there would be more Howard County Inns in it because we have a ton of them that have done lead parts on Broadway. And I was ready to say that it seemed to me that the entire production was a little focused on certain productions rather than a historical thing like Silhouette Stages did in their broadcast. But it is worth watching. It is worth contributing $5 or $500 to the Actors Fund. We have some kids, I still call them, even though they're 45 and 50 years old, up there that have families and mortgages, and they're unemployed and have been for 9 months, and there are not a lot of people that can make it no matter how they're living. So that's my little chirp. Judy?
Yeah. I think, I'd like to just piggyback on that one. I loved that as well, but I'm going to say that mostly I'm moved by the resiliency of everyone in the arts, in how all of us have tried to find our way, to continue, because as I was speaking with Jeremy before the show, I mean, the day the music died, that's what I call it, when it all hit, the arts went boom. We went right down. There was no opening to do anything. All of the jobs that I've always had as Dolly Levi got shut down 24 hours, So we've all just, and I love that we still get to use Zoom platform for our podcast, because this has been a great way, to get so many people out to talk about their craft. And so I'm going to say, I'm just moved by everybody in the arts, because we, the show does always go on without a question. So yeah, I'm just moved to be with all of you today. What about you, Jeremy?
I would say, one of my favorite moments from the pandemic that involved arts was in July, right after they came out with the Hamilton original cast movie. One of our neighbors got a humongous blow up screen, outdoor screen, set it up in the backyard with two gigantic speakers. Everybody in the neighborhood brought lawn chairs and everybody was socially distanced. And we were out there at night, everybody, the kids were there. And it was, while there was a sad component to it, that it wasn't live, it was really an amazing community experience. And like you said, Judy, without the arts, we would have just been sitting there. And I think the arts has really brought a lot of people through this whole situation. That's something I'll never forget.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Marla, last but not least.
Yeah, so I just want to say my students really inspire me, and I'm going to put a little plug in here. We are having Long Reach Has Talent, which was canceled in the spring. Normally it's a fundraiser for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, but this year we decided to keep it local, and we are getting donations for Grassroots.
Wow, that's
Crisis
wonderful.
Intervention Center. Yeah, so that's happening. My first live streamed school show on Friday night with a bunch of acts kids have sent in. We've got dancers and singers and some short skits, and actually a reprise of a show, a little scene that was done by some alumni. So, and the teachers are judging. So there's prizes for the kids who are performing. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. And that inspires me that those kids showed up and are willing to put their talent out there. So yeah.
Well, a big shout out to teachers making all that happen. That's fabulous. Thank you so much. Well, you know what? We've had so much fun here. We've run out of time, and there's no business like show business. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, Mo, Jeremy, Carolyn, Marla. I love you all. And you know what? It's going to get better. So bring on 2021. Happy holidays to all. And you know what? Support the arts, please. Till next time, it's Judy Templeton on Razzle Dazzle Radio.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.